last 2 weeks ago, we talked about learning from the Old Testament examples, and we were in 1 Corinthians. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians today, and we're going to be in chapter 4 today. We're going to go backwards a little bit, and we were in 1 Corinthians 10 before. And we talked about examples set long time ago in the Old Testament that we should learn by. And we also talked about the I'm third attitude. And the I'm third attitude simply says that God is first, others are second, and I'm third. And we talked a little bit about, and I want to regroup just because we weren't here last week to follow up on that. We talked about, a lot of times we think, well, I can't help this person if I'm not right myself. So I have to think of me first. And a lot of times we have self-help books that are talking about, it's all about you and make yourself right and take care of yourself. You got to watch out for number one. And God's book says it's a little different. It's been around a little longer than most self-help books. So God's book says, you know what? I come first. Others come second in my book. And you become third. Whoever is first shall be last, and whoever is last shall be first. I've come to serve, not to be served. Those are all different things than we talk about in the day-to-day life of the world that we generally live in. And most of us think it's me first, others sometime after that, and God a distant third way after that. And when I say us, I'm talking about the world, not necessarily us as a congregation, but the world thinks that way a lot of times. And we as a church body need to focus on that and say we need to put God first in our lives. God has to be front and center, and he has to have a lot to do with the decisions that we make. And I thought if we put three questions out there, that would make for a better society, it'd make for a better people, and it'd make for a better church. Anytime we want to say or do something, and I'm not saying that every decision we make, I'm talking about those decisions that we question, should I be doing this or not? I don't care if it's whether it's taking a drink, eating this, doing this activity, saying something to somebody that you feel you're justified in saying, but it may not be the thing to do. And I thought if we just answer a couple questions. Is this pleasing to me? And that's usually where we start. Is this activity or is what I'm saying pleasing to me? Usually it is because we're selfish. Yeah, it pleases me to pieces. It's great. Yes, I'm going to do this activity and it's a sin or it is wrong and it's pleasing me to death. And guess what? That's why I'm doing it. Well, then if we ask the second question, is it pleasing to others? Sometimes it's not. And we just say, oh, well, that's okay. It's pleasing to me. Is it pleasing to others? Again, some sin, it's pleasing to others also. Sexual immorality. Yes, it's pleasing to both. All right, let's go ahead. We can do it. It's that third question I'm talking about. It's the third question. Is this activity, is this thing I'm about to say or do pleasing to God? And if we ask those questions, that third one is the one we'll generally run out of air and breath and forget to ask him. Is this activity, or is what I'm about to say or do, is that pleasing to God? And again, we have these Old Testament examples we went through 2 weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 10. But is it pleasing to God? And the church in America, I'll say the church in general in America, we're a selfish society. We really are. We look out for ourselves. We look out for number one. And there's a lot of people making a lot of money saying, got to look out for number one. It's all about you. You deserve this. You have worked hard. You have earned this. Make it about you. And I'm not saying that we have to deny ourselves all the time, but it also says, deny yourself. Pick up the cross daily. You see, the problem is when we pick up the cross once a week on Sundays, even twice a week, Sundays and Wednesdays, maybe every couple of days, when we pick up that cross every couple of days, we're doing a disservice to God and we're doing a disservice to ourselves as well as those we're around. Because that is not enough to formulate activities that we do throughout the week. Throughout the week, we go through and we have our activities we do in this one day on Sunday. And the short time we spend together, it's not enough to change you for good. And God says, I need you. I need you to go tell an entire world about me and my salvation. And you can't do that with a part-time interest in me. We're called to be so many things, but they're all pretty simple. As Christians, we are called to be Christ-like. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ. We are called to reflect and show the love of Christ. And I'm telling you, if you work in places or go to school in places or live in a home in places where people don't have that at the forefront, it's going to be awfully hard to get that fill once a week here. We are called to serve one another. Jesus Christ came, as I just said, to serve and not be served. That's being Christ-like. To forgive one another as He also forgave us. To encourage one another, to give hope to one another, to our family, to our friends, to our church body. To comfort one another, to care for one another. In the last 2 weeks, we've had so many people injured in the hospital, suffering. And we've been praying, and we've been to homes, and we've been to hospitals. Joy LeClaire, who has been here in the past, not so much recently, but in the past. Heart attack. 2 stents put in. Is home recovering now. Donna Clark, foot surgery. Not once, twice. Dr. Steve Smith, possible heart attack, possible blood clot in the lungs, yesterday morning. And it goes on and on. Megan Bean, who's not here today, but Megan Bean, her mother, possible stroke 3 days ago. And I thought, man, the body is hurting physically. You have endured pain, Donnie. And Karen, you have endured surgeries as well. Still going through those. And many of you others have been going through things. Millie, your brother. Home recovering, a long road. Home recovering is your mother, long road ahead of them. But as a church body, we need to care for these people and we need to pray for them. And I think as a church body, I just have been reflecting and reflecting, thinking, what do we need to do? What do we need to be? We need to be Christ-like. I myself sometimes get in such a hurry, I blow past people. And I blow past things. Or Joyce tries to say hello. And I said, I got to go, Joyce. Give me a hug. She said, I know you're always on the run. And I think I've got to slow down. And Jesus went through the crowds and He went through people. But He slowed down enough to touch them. Or say, no, no, no. Don't hold them back. Let them come to me. I'm not at all saying you come to me, but I'm saying Jesus slowed down enough to say, no, don't hold them back. Let them come see me. Let them come touch me. And we need to pray for one another. In the Old Testament examples that we looked at in 1 Corinthians 10, give us a lot of warnings about what we should do. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where we're at today, and I'll be honest, I don't remember if I said 4 or 5, but we're going to be in 4. We're going to start in verse 6 in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And let's remember these things as we go through day in and day out to be Christ-like, to be ambassadors of Christ, to reflect and show the love of Christ, to serve one another in the church body. And that includes our spouses, our children, and our parents. So a couple of young people look up and say, what? Young people. Serve your parents. Parents, serve your children. Tend to their needs as well. And tend to one another's needs. Forgive one another in the family, outside of the family. Encourage and give hope, comfort, and care for one another. And in chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Fools for Christ's sake." And the letter was written to the Corinthian church, and we've talked about some of these things before, but I want to bring it all together in saying, I'm third. God first, other second, I'm third. And it says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think but beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." The church has no room for one another to be puffed up against each other. In the Corinthian church, they were experiencing this. They came, they started the church, and then they moved on. But word got back to them, and they said, "We're having some problems in the church." I'm not at all saying we're having problems in the church. I'm speaking historically here. And they were puffed up. Some people thought, "I'm better than they are in the church." Some people said, "Well, they're going to come back and visit." Others said, "No, nobody's coming back to check on us. We'll just be great." That song, "How Great Thou Art," was written about me. "The Great I Am," that was written about me. And those were some of the leaders in the Corinthian church. Puffed up against one another. And he said, "And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Trying to lay claim to things that they thought they earned or they got on their own, but it was God-given. Our talents, the jobs that we do, no matter how great that job is, no matter how skilled we are, we didn't do that on our own. God gave us that skill, that ability to learn. He gave most of you the ability to learn way beyond my ability to learn. That's a gift from God. The skills He's given you, those are God-given. And we work to hone those skills. But that also is God-given. God has given the drive and the initiative inside each one of us to do those things. And it said, "You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." And I want to stop here for a minute. As a church body, we're going to take hits. We're going to take punches. And we're going to take pot shots. Both from Christians and non-Christians. Believers and non-believers. And believers sometimes will do those things thinking, "We're doing it the right way. You're doing it the wrong way." And I thought, for many different ways in the styles that we do churches, can you imagine how far off we would be from churches that were happening 2,000 years ago? Number one, we probably have cushier seats than they did. We're able to adjust the temperature. We're able to adjust the lighting. We're able to adjust the sound level. We're able to adjust the sound level. Project things up that they couldn't do. So when other Christians take pot shots at us, it's very harmful. When we take shots at other Christians in denominations or churches or believers, we have to be careful ourselves. Because I believe if God put in this person to act this way and this person to act this way in church in response to His will or His Spirit and the Holy Spirit, we have to be careful on that. We have to be careful not to judge one another. And so he says that we've been made a spectacle to the world. And that was 2,000 years ago, and they're still doing it today. Verse 10 says, "We are fools for Christ's sakes, but you are wise in Christ." For we are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Poorly clothed, beaten, hungry, thirsty, and homeless. Most of us can't imagine one of those, let alone all of those. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Listen carefully to that, church body. Being reviled, we bless. That's a hard thing to do. Being persecuted, we endure. That is a hard thing to do when we are persecuted, to endure. Being defamed, we entreat. For we have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. And I thought, again, we had examples from the Old Testament. Now we have examples in the present time, or they did right then. And Paul's telling them, listen, church, we've been through this, we've done this, but you must persevere. You must press on. You must bless others. You must endure. You must stand the test. And you must stay in the race. He goes on after that to talk about running the race. And we talked a little over a year ago about getting in that race and then running the race to run. We talked this year about being an intentional church. Being intentional in the things that we do and the things that we say. And I think in order to be intentional, we have to pick up our cross daily. We may have to go find where we put it. I don't remember where I put my cross. Last time I picked it up and carried it daily. And I mean that seriously. As a church body, sometimes we're just not challenged to go over and say, oh, I found it. It's in the corner of the closet. Now, the good thing was I was able to use it as a clothes hanger and I hang things up. Anyone have treadmills that do the same thing? I've got a treadmill, I've got a walker, I've got this, and yeah, I hang my clothes on. It's great. I don't have that, but I know people that do. And they're clothing fixtures. And our cross becomes a similar thing. We had great intentions when we went and picked up that cross. And when we gave our life to Christ, said, man, I'm taking that cross today. We had great intentions of following through with that. But somewhere along the way, that treadmill just was in the way. And that cross is just in the way. Man, they want me to come on Sunday morning. And, you know, it's really my only day off. I work 6 days a week. Or I work five, but Saturday's full of a lot of activity. And Sunday's my rest day. I think somewhere in the beginning God said, and then I took a day of rest. I just am doing that on Sunday morning. It's just me and God resting. Yeah. You got a couple amens, all right. But somewhere along the way, our good intentions of picking up that cross and walking with it and having good intentions, being intentional, it got in the way and we set that cross down. With the treadmill, same thing. Well, I walk and that takes the place of the treadmill. Yeah, I walk to the kitchen. I walk to the bathroom. I walk to the living room. Batteries are out. I'll just stare at the blank TV rather than get up and walk over there and turn it on or off. We all do it. I do it too. And the cross becomes the same. Well, it's way over there. I'm going to church, but I just don't have time or energy to walk all the way back, pick it up, and bring it here. But when I bring it, guess what? I don't want to carry my cross and look like a hypocrite. So I'm just going to leave it behind so as not to carry it and have people mock me for not following it. well, better yet, I don't want to leave it at home, so I'll just stay at home because I don't want to show up without it. And the church body just gets out of habit, out of habit, out of habit. And then all of a sudden they've got a new habit. And it's not attending, not picking up the cross daily. And this isn't about attendance. This is about giving your life to Christ and committing yourself to Christ. If that includes attendance, so be it. Because this church body needs you. I'm looking around our youngest one in here that's not in the nursery or the other children's church. Yeah, Becca, I'm looking right at you. You're probably our youngest one in here. Maybe Ben over there, Austin, Sebastian. Those young people, Bryce is over here. Our young people, don't think for a second that God doesn't need you here and God can't use you here. God is using our young people all over this church to do things. Being as old as I am, I can say our band, with the exception of me, is young people. Now, even our younger people, Austin and Sebastian, up doing sound and computer ministry. Over at Ground Zero, Spencer and Andrew and Chelsea, leading our young people. Don't think for a second that God can't use each and every one of you. I've never done anything. That's okay. We may need help mowing the lawns. We may need help in the gardens. We may need help in the kitchen. We may need help with cleaning. We may need help with painting. We're going to have a work day coming up in the next month. We're going to need some help. Well, I can't do anything, but I've got a big giant truck. Bring it. We can use you. It's picking up your cross daily. Fools, for Christ's sake. I feel like I'm last being condemned to death, is what they said. Disciples, apostles being last. But they labor working with their own hands, it says, as an example to us. And they're writing the church saying, church, this is what you need to do. You need to work with your own hands. And when people mock you and make fun of you, you need to bless them. That's very hard to do. It doesn't come hard to everyone, but it comes hard to me at times. Being persecuted, we endure. That could be at home, that could be in school, that can be in church, I hope not. That can be in the workplace. Young people going through those things. I listened to Charles Stanley this morning. I guess that guy's like 81 years old, they say. And I thought, wow. I thought he was in his 60s. But he said 75 years ago when he was 6 years old, I did the math, 81. When he was 6 years old, he said, I remember the first time I was ever encouraged. And my teacher said, I like Charles. Now that teacher encouraged him, but she didn't say it to him. She said it to another teacher, and he heard it. And 76 years later, he remembers that. Take a minute, just think when the first time you can remember somebody encouraging you was. Just take a minute. How young were you, or how old were you? Have you encouraged somebody recently to their face in a note, in a letter? We're to be comfort for one another and to care for one another. As Paul said in verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. It's just a warning. I don't say anything here to shame anybody, just as a warning that Christ calls us to be Christ-like, to be His ambassadors, representatives of Christ and of the gospel, to be cross bearers, picking up our cross and carrying it daily, to be encouragers to one another. To give hope to one another. A person told me 2 weeks ago, I like coming here. Because when I'm out of hope, this place gives me hope. These people give me hope. Don't think for a second that there's people around here that don't feel some days that they're out of hope. That they don't feel some days that they're above it all. And they don't have struggles of feeling worthy. Verse 15, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. As we close today, I just want our minds to be on Christ throughout the week. I want our minds to be on the cross. We are getting ready to celebrate Easter next month. And in the next several weeks, we're going to be going through the journey. We're going to be going through the journey of Jesus Christ. All the things that He endured. And how He overcame. To the point of overcoming death. And I want us to think, how should each one of us, how should I act? How can I imitate Christ? What in my life can I do to change areas that don't reflect His love, that don't reflect His lifestyle? And by that I mean forgiving, blessing other people, even when they have hurt us, offended us, giving comfort and hope to each other. Let us pray. Lord, today we just ask simply that You meet us where we are. Lord, we thank You for being a God of grace and mercy. And we thank You for saving each and every one of us. Giving us the opportunity to spend eternity with You. God, today we just ask through the message, through the words of Paul to the Corinthian church, Lord, that we would be encouraged to be Christ-like, to be better ambassadors. We already are ambassadors of Christ. Lord, would You help us to be better ambassadors, better examples, better light to the unbelievers, better light to the believers, God. God, I ask You to strengthen this church body, to lift up and raise this church body to new levels, to new heights, to new energy, to new boldness through Christ. As Your word says, not that any of us would boast in ourselves, but in You, the one who has given each and every one of us strength to endure. Before we leave today, while we're praying still, would you just raise your hand if you'd like me to pray for you for boldness and strength to be better ambassadors of Christ? Just lift your hand up. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank You. Lord, for all the hands going up right now. Don't be shy. Just raise your hand so that we can pray. And as we pray, I ask You to pray for me as my hand is raised also to be a better ambassador, to be more Christ-like. Hands still going up. Thank You, God. Better examples, better witnesses, for our faith that we have adopted. Well, you have adopted us sons and daughters. Thank you so much. Lord, for those people that raise their hands and those that may not have raised their hand for whatever reason, but feel that, God, I ask for you to just give us strength and boldness to talk to one another in a safe place, in a safe environment, about our walk with Christ, and just to encourage one another, whether it's a small group, an informal meeting, a new class for those that are struggling, whatever it is, God, draw us to that. Draw us to that answer, to that conclusion, so that we can be better ambassadors for you. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.